Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, yesterday on the Beacon Broadcast, we took up a study of the Great Commission. We're going to pursue that for this week only and then return to our study in the book of James. I think it would be fair to say that the Great Commission is the primary responsibility of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is, in fact, Christ's last command. It is given in five different places in the New Testament Scriptures. It was given on three different occasions, as I pointed out on the broadcast yesterday. The first one in the upper room, the second one in Galilee, and the third one on the Mount of Olives, just before Christ ascended back to heaven. And it is that last one that assures us that this was Christ's final command to his disciples. This is what he told them to do just before he returned to heaven to take up his rule and reign upon the throne of God. And so when I say it is the primary responsibility of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize this is what Christ told his disciples to be doing while he was away until he returns. Now, when I say it's the primary responsibility of the Church, I'm not saying that it is the primary purpose of the church meeting. And that's an entirely different matter, and we need to understand that distinction. And so I'll start there, and then we'll move along, continuing to look at the Great Commission as we looked at it on the broadcast yesterday. But thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, September 25. And please remember that we are dependent upon the gifts of God's people to keep this Bible teaching ministry on this station. Now, what is the difference? When I say the Great Commission is the primary responsibility of the church, why do I say it is not the primary responsibility of the church meeting? And when I say meeting, I'm talking about what we generally call the church services. That's a tricky term if you really think about it. What is a church service? But I don't want to get into that right now. But the church meeting, the assembly of the saints. And we have confused the overall purpose of the church, which is to carry out the Great Commission, with the purpose of the church meeting, which is for the people of God to worship God and to be instructed from the Scriptures. In other words, the primary purpose of the church meeting is not the Great Commission, at least not the evangelistic part of the Great Commission. It may be the teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you part of the Great Commission, but not the go you into all the world and disciple all nations part. That's a different matter altogether. And because we have confused that, we have created a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of poor choices when it comes to what we do in our church meetings. If we think that the main purpose of the church meeting is to attract the lost, then we have actually destroyed the God-given purpose of the church meeting. What is a church? A church is an assembly of called out ones, an assembly of the saints, a meeting, an assembly of the saints. When the church meets, that is the people of God meeting, primarily for the purpose of worshiping God and edifying one another in the most holy faith. The primary purpose of the church meeting, I say it again and again and again, is not evangelism. Is that a purpose? Could that be a secondary purpose? Could that be an incidental purpose? Indeed, it can. It is not that evangelism is banished from the church meeting, but that is not the primary purpose, and we do not organize our church meetings with evangelism as the primary purpose. It's as simple as that. We organize our church meetings for the worship of God and the building up of the people of God is our primary purpose, or two purposes, if you want to put it that way. And so when we have these evangelistic mandates that we've got to do this if we're going to reach unreached people, we've got to do this if we're going to reach unchurched people, we've got to do this if we're going to attract people who are not followers of Jesus Christ, we want to see them become followers of Jesus Christ, and we start doing things that are primarily designed to appeal to non-believers, although even that is not what they are generally called in our modern context. We don't want to be so negative as to call them non-believers. We just call them unchurched. And it's almost as if everybody's a Christian, but you've got Christians who go to church and you've got Christians who don't go to church, and it's our responsibility to try to get the Christians who don't go to church to come to church. But if they don't come to church, they probably aren't Christians. This idea of going out into the community and conducting polls where you find somebody who doesn't go to church and say to them, why don't you go to church? And what would it take for us? What would we need to do at our church so that you would want to come? What is it that has kept you away from church? Well, I don't like long prayers. Okay, at our church, we don't have long prayers. I don't like long sermons. Okay, at our church, we won't have long sermons. I don't like old-fashioned hymns. Okay, at our church, we won't have old-fashioned hymns. I don't like to have to wear a coat and tie. Well, at our church, nobody wears coats and ties. And on it goes. We're trying to make the church appealing to unchurched people. In other words, what we're really doing is trying to make the church appealing to the world. That's not what we're told to do. Don't confuse our responsibility to evangelize with the purpose of the church meeting. The church meeting is where the people of God come together to become equipped to go back into the world, into their neighborhoods, to their jobs, to their schools, to their unchurched family members, unsaved family members, and to bear witness for Christ in that setting. The main idea isn't to flood the church meeting with unconverted people and try to get them converted that way. The church meeting is primarily geared to the saints of God. Now, if God is drawing an unconverted person to himself, he very well may bring them to the church meeting where they can hear the word of God. After all, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What better way for an unsaved person to be saved than to come to church and hear the word of God? I don't know where else they're going to hear it, unless, of course, we take it to them, which is really That really should be the norm. That really is not the norm so much in our day, but that really should be the norm, that the people of God take the gospel out into their communities and people hear it there. But if God is working in a heart and is drawing someone to himself, by all means, we should expect that they will be drawn to the church meeting, and they'll have an entirely different attraction to it. They're not going to be put off by prayers and long sermons and old-fashioned hymns. If God's working in their heart to convict them of sin and to show them their need of Christ, then these things are not going to be a problem for them. These things are only a problem for people who are in a settled state of hostility toward God and toward things spiritual. And you think that the way to reach them is to get rid of the elements that people who are hostile toward God find problematic? When God saves us, He changes us. He changes our desires. He changes our delights. The things that we used to not like, we now like. The things we used to like, now we don't like. So we didn't used to like church, but now we do. We didn't used to like prayers, but now we do. We didn't used to like sermons, but now we do. We didn't used to like church music, but now we do, because it glorifies God. It enables us to praise God. It teaches us the Word of God. It teaches us sound doctrine. So everything's changed. Now we like what we didn't like before, but I'm afraid in too many cases what we have done is made the church so accommodating to the world that it no longer serves the purpose for which God intended. That's not a good bargain, is it? That's not a good bargain at all. So the church meeting is geared to the people of God. But the overarching purpose of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to carry out this commission. And we read about it in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We saw on the broadcast yesterday the authority exercised, and that is the authority of Almighty God that Jesus Christ says has been given to me. All authority has been given unto me. We saw, secondly, the people intended, the ones that Jesus was directing this commission to, and it is to all disciples, all followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it says Jesus came and spoke to them, that's what he's talking about. There's no indication that it was only the apostles present, but that there were others as well. And he came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." This commission is to all of the people of God. It is to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to figure out how we are going to fulfill this commission together. It's not an individual thing. It is a corporate thing. It is a partnership thing. It is something that we all get involved in together. There are, of course, individual responsibilities related to it. But we need to do this together because that's the way it was given, and that's the only way it can be accomplished. We'll look at it again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.